Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Level 3, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenzi, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bust them, and everybody else in between. Shout out to a Haywire Jackson who sent us a tweet of a cat chasing a soccer ball on a TV screen. Yeah, I haven't seen a cat do that before. I've seen him watch sports before, and for whatever reason, a cat's a fan of the TV show Law & Order. I think it likes the music, dun-dun, or something like that, I don't know. But the cat jumped up before and was like trying to paw at the puck as the puck was going around. And to be honest, I think my cat is better at finding the puck than the Vancouver opponent, the Edmonton Oilers defenseman, actually. Maybe the cat should be playing defense. 4-2 for the Vancouver Canucks right now after the second period of play in the NHL. Let's get you a quick number here for this game and then get to the college basketball. It's 4-2. The Canucks are -2.5 in game. The total is still 8.5. We've been flirting with that 8.5 for the last hour or so. It's 8.5 -130 to the over, so they're at 6. Edmonton are sloppy defensively, and they're not going to tap out. So it would be over or pass for me here. And it would be Edmonton +2.5 or nothing. But I'm already on Vancouver. It's pretty good. We hit the over 1.5 for the first period. That's a winner. We got Quinn Hughes to get a point tonight. That's a winner. We're on the Vancouver Canucks to win the game. They're up 4-2. And I've got Pettersson over 2.5 shots on goal. He's got 2 shots on goal right now. I just need one more going into the third period. So we might be able to have a nice clean 4-0 sweep. I don't really want to mess this up right now. So college basketball. We are on Bellarmine +13.5. They're up 19-15. Shout out to everybody joining us on Sirius XM channel 159. Level 3 has begun on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. I am Gabriel Morenzi. This is Sports Rage. Great to have college basketball back. And we've got some late night classes going on here for the hardcore D-Gen. St. Francis, PA in the house against UCLA. They're tied at 13 early. They've actually played about 11 minutes. There's 9 minutes left in the first half of that game. Bellarmine are up 19-15 on the Washington Huskies. We took the, what was it, 13 or was it 11? My bad. So many bets going on here. Bellarmine, +11. My bad. We got them +11. So we got, they're +5.5 right now only. So nice start there. We're also on the over 136.5. The in-game total is 134.5 right now. So it's sort of right on pace. We'll keep our eye on this. As I stated, we got a full slate of college basketball, including, man, I got the over of USC and Kansas State, and it's hovering right now. It's 147.5 in game. That was my number. It's 71-59 right now. 71-59, but there's only 4 minutes left in this game, and USC are rolling Kansas State, a very deep and talented USC Trojan team, up 71-69 right now. Portland and Long Beach, 52-51. As I stated, we got a lot of stuff going on here. So this game, there's 9 minutes left. It's basically a pick 'em right now. The Beach were 3-point favorites at Portland. 43-38, the Stanford Cardinal were laying 23.5. They were down early to Cal State Northridge. They've come back. We're at the half right now. 43-38, Cal State Northridge. Meanwhile, the Washington State Cougars are up on the Idaho Vandals at the break. It's 41-28 after 20 minutes of play in Pullman. 41-28. So they're up by 13. They're laying 20.5 right now. Weren't they laying like 19.5 before the game started? It was like right around this, right? So sort of right around the number. The total is 140.5 in this game. So So really the best game, you know, we got the Long Beach and the Portland game is a pretty good one going on right now. And, you know, this is a pure degenerate play. I'm kind of partial to Long Beach. They've been good to us over the years, but I want to pick my spots and get this right here in the late night hours. So we're on, you know, we're on Bellarmine here. Hopefully we can get some points going and go 2-0 in that game. UCLA are laying a boatload. UCLA are -23.5 right now to St. Francis, PA. Total is 126.5 in this game. They were laying, what, like 29.5? UCLA don't really play a style of basketball. They're going to murder you by that much. So we'll keep our eye on this. We didn't pull the trigger on anything in this game. So it's 4-2 in the hockey game. The third period hasn't started yet. 8.5, -130 to the over. Vancouver -2.5 right now. I think it's going to get there, actually, man. You know, I'm really tempted to click this. I think it's going to get to 9. They're already at 6 right now. I can see Vancouver scoring. Edmonton's not going to top out. It's close enough that, you know what I mean, down 2 or 3. They're going to pull their goalie as well. That could lead to another goal. So if you're looking for some late-night action, I would say and I would think that that this game goes over the 8.5. We'll take a look at the overnight numbers, and we'll get you caught up to date with Week 10 of the National Football League. There's a lot of college football talk going on, and a lot of crazy stuff. It's like a soap opera. There should be like the Days of Our Lives and the Big Ten. They should just make a reality show of the chaos that's going on in this conference right now. Let's roll. It's the Monday Night Meltdown. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The best of players, the hustlers, the people that bustle, and everybody else in between. Welcome to the Late Night Anger Management class. We've been throwing it down on Sirius XM, Channel 1, 59, Sports Grid Radio and Television Networks. Shout out to all of our television affiliates. And, of course, shout out to the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, SoCal, San Diego in the house. And there's a lot of college basketball going on right now in SoCal. Speaking of which, USC up 72-64 on K-State. There's only a couple of minutes left in this game. I'd like to see a flurry of points late in this game. The Aztecs are up 54-42 on Cal State Fullerton right now. Not to be confused with Cal State Northridge, who are down by 5 against Stanford. But the Aztecs were laying 14.5, and they're laying 14.5 right now as we speak. Up a dozen points. The in-game total is 151.5, and we're kind of kicking ourselves for not pulling the trigger on the over of this game. San Diego State aren't the same low-scoring, low-flow basketball team that we've known from past years. I thought this total was a little light coming into the game, but I think we missed a good number right now. Long Beach up by 1 on Portland, 53-52. NFL football. The game pretty much kind of went the way everybody thought it was going to go. It was terrible. It was boring, and it sucked. And you have to wonder why the NFL is just trolling us at this point in time and making us watch the Chicago Bears play the Carolina Panthers. Like, did anybody believe that either of these two teams are going to be good this late in the season? But that's what we have in store. And if you didn't see enough of a Jet team to manage to score 6 points tonight, don't worry. You're going to see them on Sunday Night Football next week. Who would have thought ever on a Sunday Night Football, like at this point, that like, well, at least we get to see the Raiders play, right? At least we're going to see the Raiders. And man, the Raiders might have something going on right now with AP. As Antonio Pierce gets the W, the New York Giants hit rock bottom. The Giants are getting 16.5 points against the Pokes this week. We got our boy Mo Khan going to step up and in. We've got a lot of football to get to, including a lot of college football chaos as the Big Ten and Michigan are about to go to war. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Let's roll level three. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morency, and as expected, I talked about the over 8.5 in this hockey game. We got an early goal right away. It's now 4-3. The Edmonton Oilers have just scored. They're not going away, and they're a desperate hockey team right now. Vancouver have to be careful and not get complacent. The last time Edmonton scored a goal to cut the lead to one, Vancouver responded with a goal a couple of minutes after. We'll see what happens here. There was a lot of traffic in front of the net. It looked like JT Miller ended up kicking it in a net into his own net when it was all said and done. But that only took a minute. We're 1 minute into the third period, and just like that, we were just talking about the they're reviewing the goal. There was chaos in the crease, but I don't know. I wouldn't overturn it, but it is a new world that we're in right now. 26-25 Washington against Bellarmine. That's right. We're degenerates, and this is the game we're focusing in on right now. All right, this is the one we're focusing in on, and it looks like we're going to hit the over. We did hit the over 147.5 of the USC Kansas State in game. Good stuff. We need every win that we can get on the way out here. Let's bring in our boy Mo Khan right now. TSN statistician, played college football, wide receiver, meteorologist, play-by-play man, jack of all trades. Steps up and in, and a Raider fan at that, too. Mo, so tonight, Monday Night Football, there's a lot of talk about this all day long, actually, when people realize the upcoming primetime slate of football games, in which we had the Jets on national television tonight. And if you didn't get enough of that, that vaunted offense of theirs, well, we get to see them again, and I tell you what, for the Raiders, sets up pretty nicely, doesn't it? This looks like a football game that they can win again. Back-to-back games against New York teams.
They could, Gabe. And look, for the Raiders to have the highest of highs to beat the Giants in Vegas on Sunday, they have to figure out how to kind of keep their emotions composed, because think about it now, Gabe, right? They played all-out football, right? They played RWA, Raiders with Attitude football, on Sunday. But the question now for Antonio Pierce, for the staff, though, is can they get these guys locked in to do it again? And you're playing a Jets team, which, my God, it was an awful game tonight. I was flipping back with the Knicks-Clippers game with this game, and they were both terrible games. But I just think that in the sense of what the Jets are at right now, I mean, like, Trakeman was having poking fun at Zach Wilson in the fourth quarter, saying there's no way in hell they're going to come back from this deficit. And now for Robert Saleh, as the head coach of this team, they got to figure out how to make this team relevant going towards the final half of the regular season campaign, because quite frankly, even though at where they're at, their defense has played so well, their offense has been so pitiful, that it's been a complete waste of all that talent they have. And you saw Sauce Gardner in the fourth quarter, how frustrated he was with the offense watching from the sidelines. So I think this game definitely sets up well for the Raiders, but again, they cannot look at this as being an easy win. It could be a trap game for them, given how well that Jets defense has played this season.
Now, we saw the Raiders and the change of attitude in the locker room throughout the week leading into the game. And for the record, they said no goal because of all the chaos in the crease. So it's still 4-2 in this game, in the hockey game that's going on. But so, you know, it was well documented, the team meeting, the airing of the grievances, Festivus style. And it was pretty clear that Josh McDaniels was a problem in the room with people. And you know, something that you just said, and I saw Max Crosby on Pat McAfee's show today, and, you know, he's talking about smoking the cigars, and he was talking about the locker room, and he said, you know, man, we're the effing Raiders, man. He goes, we're supposed to be the bad boys of the NFL. He goes, we're supposed to, like, be, like, you know what I mean? He goes, yeah. I want people to be scared to play us, and he was talking about just the attitude of the team, and he said, you know, the history of the Raiders, and it was pretty deep, bro. I wanted to, like, play for them. Like, he showed his tattoo. He goes, I right, got an effing Raider tattoo, bro, on my arm. Like, NFL players don't do that. He goes, I got the shield on my arm, bro. He goes, this means a lot to me. And he goes, Antonio told us to be ourselves. He said, you want to listen to music? You listen to music. You want to smoke a cigar? You know what he told him? Because you're effing Raiders, man. He goes, you're supposed to do this, right? Like, he's telling them, grow some, man. Get a swagger. Like, break the rules. Like, you know what I mean? Fine. Yeah, you're supposed to be this way. And I couldn't help but think back to, like, Josh McDaniels you know, no one's saying he's a horrible person. None of the players said that, right? They didn't say, oh, he's a terrible person. But I remember when I used to go to games, the Raiders in L.A., when Bo Jackson and Jay Schrader was there. And you know who the coach was, Mo, for a brief time? Mike Shanahan.
Yeah, Mike Shanahan.
It was Archell after. They brought in Archell after. But it was Mike Shanahan. And there was an instance once when Howie Long was sitting on his helmet during a practice. And Shanahan came over and flipped out. You don't effing sit on a helmet. You're disgracing the logo on the helmet when you sit on that and stuff. Al Davis basically fired him. And they realized this guy's not a Raider. He's too straight. It's like hiring Ned Flanders. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think the Raiders got away from that. And McDaniel's trying to change the culture and do it my way. And, you know, by the fake Belichick way and stuff like that. I agree with, like, Pierce and Crosby. I think they should have a swagger. They should. They screwed up with Bisaccia. And maybe Bisaccia wouldn't have been a good coach, but whatever. They should have just given him a two-year deal or something after that, Mo. So I think they're out of money now in paying coaches. So as long as Antonio Pierce kind of goes 500 the rest of the year, he's probably going to be the coach next year, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, if he plays competitive football and they're relevant towards week 18 of the schedule, and look, you're right, Gabe, they don't have money. They're not rich boys. Mark Davis is not made out of money.
And they're paying $80 million to coaches that aren't coaching right now, too.
Right, exactly. Gruden included as well with McDaniels and Ziegler. But I think now if Antonio Pierce has a good display of coaching acumen where they're competitive, they win, if not half, not most of their games, and he'll come at a cheaper price at a shorter term, they can say, hey, until we'll give you a three-year deal at maybe $4 million a season. He probably takes it because he is a Raider through and through. He was born in Compton, raised as a Raider fan, and is a Raider at heart. And I think that's what the plan could be for the Raiders moving forward. But let's not forget, though, right? Tom Brady could be involved. And if he's involved, he probably would want to get his say in who he thinks should be the Raider head coach in 2024. So, yes, the referendum will be out on this franchise moving towards the final half of the regular season. But there's no question that that ran through my mind, as it did for you, that if Mark Davis sees this as being the better alternative, where it's cheaper and keeps his team with edge and plays with that vigor that's been lacking under Josh McDaniels, then by all means, he might stick with his play card, or his poker chip, until further notice.
We've seen, though, coaches do well in interim situations and not get the job after. NFL teams often like the flash, right? They like the big name as opposed to like some dude. But I think if you're the Raiders, like you said, I mean, Mark Davis doesn't have a bunch of other businesses. He doesn't, you know what I mean? Like the Raiders are his business and the Aces, etc. I don't understand that. I guess I do understand the dire straits that they're in financially. They pay a bunch of people that don't work for them anymore.
Right?
Like Mayock. We go down the list, man. Like Mayock, the latest GM, the coaches. Dude, like the Jimmy Garoppolo. They paid him. He couldn't pass the physical, bro. Right? What do you got? I got $25 million up front. Like, they just throw money away all the time at this stuff. Because I told you before, I think Mark Davis's heart is in the right place. He's not an owner that doesn't want to win. He just hires the wrong people to try to help him win, it seems.
Yeah, he needs to get a proper football operations staff, a GM that can run it and be the buffer for him. Because look at Mark Davis's record since he became owner in 2011. He's gone through, what, 9 coaches, 8 coaches, whatever it is, interim full-time status, right? I mean, he's been through now 4 GMs, what will be his 4th GM in 2024. And he's got to find a proper status for Gabe, because if he doesn't do that...
I keep telling you, Becky.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hammond. She'll save the Raiders.
Exactly, be a rudderless ship, right? And the ace is his ace in the block for how well they've done under Becky Hammond this year and last year as well.
Man, she's great. So listen, man, you know, you look at the way this AFC is playing out. There's a lot of sort of, you know, there's a lot of parity. We'll go over this a little bit on the other side. We've got more football with Mo. Let's do this thing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's do this thing. The Monday Night Meltdown continues. I am Gabriel Moretti. This is Sports Rage. Our boy Mo Khan kicking with us like he does every Monday Night Meltdown. We had a full house. We had a fun show. It's flown by. Quick as 180 minutes in sports talk radio and TV continues. So NFL football, a lot of stuff to get to. Chargers win tonight. A much-needed win for Brandon Staley. Much-needed win for the Chargers. A type of game that, you know, the Chargers often lose games. They're supposed to win, but they get it done. They're now 4-4. Right now, the Raiders are 4-5, lingering. We're talking about, you know, if you look at the AFC picture right now, there's a couple of really good teams, and then there's sort of everybody else right now. So, Mo, we'll get your quick thoughts on what happened yesterday. You know, because the Miami Dolphins lost yesterday, I don't want to say, well, the Dolphins are done, and, you know, it was a close game. You know, they were down early. They came back. They were down 21-0. They made it 21-14. They had the ball late. They came back. They went to Germany. It's a tough trip and all that. But the fact of the matter is, three times this year, the Dolphins have sort of stepped up in class against good teams, and three times they've lost, Mo.
Yeah, they have. And I think what it comes down to is that the teams he went up against, right, whether it's Buffalo, whether it's Philly, or even Kansas City, they've all possessed defenses that have played with that heavyweight mentality, right? The Chiefs are one of the top five defenses in the NFL and have saved the Chiefs' offense at times, right? And you saw in that game with Tyreek Hill's fumble that resulted in a touchdown for KC. That's what's made them different from, say, the Miami Dolphins. I think for Miami moving forward now is that, can Mike McDaniel come up with a better game plan on offense, not be too cutesy with what he's done? Because he's seen he's been flash and dash, but can he win it with hard-nosed football? I mean, he's getting his guys back healthier than before on the running game. I think that's going to be key for them because, look, Tua Tagovailoa is going to be is great so far, what he's done, but you have to have a better run-to-pass ratio if they want to be successful, and that's where I thought they were lacking against the Chiefs on Sunday morning in Germany. And I think now moving towards that final nine games of their campaign is, can they get that readjusted? Can they make sure that they don't put Tua in these type of situations where he's got to be the man and have that running game be much more prevalent than what it was against the Chiefs?
The Buffalo Bills had an opportunity after Miami lost the Sunday morning game. It's set up that they go into Cincinnati, they win the game, they go back home in first place, right? They go back home in first place. They beat Miami earlier in the year. Instead, they fall short once again. What are your thoughts on the Buffalo Bills situation, whose schedule gets a lot even more difficult? They're still playing. They're at Philadelphia. They're at Kansas City.
Dallas
the last
as
month,
well.
It's sort of, yeah, Dallas. The last month, it softens up a bit. It's sort of like the Bills, they have an easy game and then a really hard game, right? And they're sort of, they've been getting by. Let's say they beat Denver, which they should. Okay, fine. It gets them to 6-4. What are your thoughts on this Bills team? Are they with the record? Like, will they turn it around in your opinion, or will things get worse in your opinion for the Bills?
They can be easily 3-6 right now, Gabe, right? Like, you think about the game against Tampa, the game against the Giants on Sunday Night Football, where the non-call that went against New York. They've not played well. And, you know, Gabe, you're a dire Bills fan. They've not played well on both sides of the football. And you saw yesterday how that Bills offensive line, which I've been pinpointing for quite a while, has been rather weak. And it's forced Josh Allen to do more than he's expected and made this team look uncomfortable on offense. I think for Sean McDermott, he knows, I'm not saying he's going to get fired, but he knows that this is the make or break year for this Bills core group before they have to break it up after the season. And if they don't do it now, Gabe, they probably won't do it ever. And I think now for them moving towards their final half of the schedule, you're right. You get the Eagles, you get the Chiefs as well at the end of November, the Cowboys as well. This isn't an easy schedule for them, and it might come down to that Week 18 game against Miami in South Florida for them to punch their ticket in as a wild card, maybe as a division winner. And I think now they got to be much more hopeful that this defense can be better than what it was against the Bengals, because, quite frankly, Joe Burrow looked like an all-pro against the Buffalo Bills defense yesterday. So I think they have to correct a lot of issues. And also, more importantly, though, Ken Dorsey, can he call a better game plan than what he couldn't do against the Bengals on Sunday night?
Inconsistent, Ken Dorsey. And it's kind of tricky. It's weird, too, because if you look at the Bills, The Bills are like top five in scoring offense and top five in scoring defense, but it's okay. It's where stats can lie. And it's funny because I feel the same way about the Bills offense. It's not in sync. Yet you look at the numbers and the Buffalo Bills have scored the fifth most points in the National Football League. Yet I think it's kind of deceptive, right? They hung up a bunch of points on the Commanders and they killed the Commanders and they killed the Raiders. I think they said 38 point whatever. So those are two games where I think it boosted their numbers a bit. What's weird about the Bills and alarming for me with the Bills, they've almost become this team where they move the ball in between the 20s and you don't expect them. I know, and it's one of these things where when you see their red zone offense, it's good, but it really isn't. In big games, it isn't, right? They don't come up with big plays in big games. The play calling is suspect or Allen will be off and or yesterday, the Kincaid fumble really hurt them. But one thing with the Bills, Mo, you're right. They could be 3-6, but they're also not that far away from going on a run either, I don't think. Me personally, I think their confidence is shot. Like if they beat the Eagles, they beat the Chiefs, I think they can get something going, but their confidence is shot right now internally.
Yeah, they're very polarizing. And you go back to that game against Jacksonville in London. They have never been the same since that overseas trip. And something happened where it didn't click for them. And they've been playing on eggshells pretty much, right? And you see Diggs, and you saw NBC really go to Diggs on the camera angles about his frustrations that he had. But think about that game, right? After they scored that touchdown to make it 24-16, whatever it was, the ensuing drive for the Bengals, what did the Bengals do? 24-18, I beg your pardon. The ensuing drive, what did the Bengals do? They go for a big passing play and hit it, right? Like, that shouldn't be happening. Like, you got to play for the pass and force them to run the football so you get it back on a three and out. But they gave up the big play, and that's what they've been lacking, is, as you said before, no Trey White, no Matt Milano to work with the last few weeks here. And that defense has been decimated by the injury bug, and that's hurt them this year than in years past. So they lack that big game player on defense, and maybe it could be Von Miller. But remember, he's come back to the football ship after what he went through last year with his knee injury. So a lot of question marks about this defense going towards the final eight games of their campaign.
One thing, too, about the Bills, anyone has watched them, it's like history repeats itself. And now they get burnt on third down all the time. They're good on first down. They're good on second down. Then they get burnt on third down. And that was the thing even in the Doug Marrone era, like always. They're kind of regressing right now. You know, if the glass is half full or half empty, would have to say half empty, but it's still early in the season, Mo. I know it's moving along, yet it looks like it's still a two-team race in this division between the Bills and the Dolphins, and we'll see how, you know, what happens with the Dolphins moving forward. Baltimore, a very impressive win. Man, Lamar Jackson's now 18-1 in his career, Mo, against NFC teams. It's unbelievable. They smoked Detroit. They smoked Seattle yesterday. Are you buying in that Baltimore a legitimate AFC contender? Because even though KC's offense is struggling a little bit, and Mahomes said, I promise you it'll get better, I believe his promise. And KC are a scary team, man, if Mahomes ain't the best part of it, and that defense keeps playing the way that they are. But are you buying into Baltimore that they're a legit AFC conference and Super Bowl contender?
I think so. They had a statement win against the Lions at home. They beat the Seahawks at home. I know they've had like a weird schedule, the way it started off with the AFC North teams and all that stuff. But their last half of the schedule, Gabe, it could be very winnable. They could be a 13-14 win team when it's all said and done. But remember, the last two seasons, Lamar Jackson's missed, I think, upwards of 33% of the regular season. So can he stay healthy going towards the final 8-9 games of the campaign? And, you know, what makes this team a lot more different now is that in years past, when the guy would go down, they wouldn't really have option B or C that could step up. Now they have more quality depth than before, and that's helped them in this situation going towards the middle part of their schedule. And that's why I think for them, if they remain healthy, they'll be a top two team going towards the AFC playoffs. Maybe they might have a race for Jacksonville for number two. There's no question in my mind that they're a team that no one wants to face. And remember, this is a Baltimore team that doesn't care about them going on the road. They can go play in Jacksonville, play in KC, Buffalo, Cincinnati, wherever it is, and they'll punch you in the mouth. And if you remember last year, right, there was that fluke play at the goal line that cost them points that ended up them losing to the Bengals in the playoffs. So they can easily make a run or two in the playoffs here if they're healthy and are convenient enough to be much more efficient on offense than what they were last year.
Well, one of the games of the week this week is the Jacksonville Jaguars and the the San Francisco 49ers, and I bring them up because I actually think they are legitimate contenders as well, Jacksonville. I want to get your thoughts on them, but the Baltimore Ravens are playing the Cleveland Browns this week. Cleveland, despite all the injuries, Mo, here they are. They've got a winning record, and they're in the middle of a playoff. They're in the middle of the playoff picture right now. Big division game coming up. The Ravens are currently 6-point favorites in this game right now.
Yeah, I like this matchup for Baltimore. I think Cleveland can bang with him on defense. I mean, that defense make Arizona look really like childless, right? They did not look good at all, Arizona playing against Baltimore. But I just think that, Baltimore, Seattle as well. But I just think that this team right now, with what they've built up, right, for the Browns and how they've been so far this season, I just wonder for Deshaun Watson, how healthy is he? Because he's not been healthy at all this year, Gabe. And you see it in his throws. And you have to wonder now, can they get a running game going towards this Baltimore front seven? And this is going to be one of those low-scoring games. I don't think it's going to be one of those first 1-40 wins. I think first 1-24-25 wins this football game on Sunday and give the edge to Baltimore because they're a little bit more dynamic on offense and healthier than where Cleveland is on that side of the football.
Baltimore are playing great football. So are Jacksonville. I like Jacksonville a lot moving forward. National championship quarterback, Super Bowl winning coach. They've got a ground game. I like, there's just a lot to like about the Jags. I think they can play well on the road because of the style of football that they play as well. We'll get your thoughts on them. They've got a massive game this week against the San Francisco 49ers, who are riding a 3-game losing streak. And despite that, the Niners are 3-point favorites in this game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, time's just flying by here this evening. We're kicking with Mo Khan. We got to get to some college football, but let's just blast through the NFL point spreads to get you ready for the upcoming week. And Mo, dear God, man, we got the Carolina Panthers and the Chicago Bears on Thursday Night Football. Like, why? Like, why? Like, seriously? Like, do they control us? Like, seriously? Like, why do they do this to us?
We spoke about this back in early October, right? That TNF schedule's not that great, not that sexy or appealing for that matter. But like,
Amazon are the new kids on the block, bro. They screw them. They give them the worst games.
Right, but if you're Frank Reich, though, David Tepper isn't happy. And you think about what happened on Sunday against Indianapolis and how they discombobulated on offense in 2 pick-sixes. If they have another ugly effort on Thursday Night Football with all eyes watching them, Tepper is one of those quick-trigger type of guys, right? He's like Mark Davis, so to speak, here, that he might just blow it up again and start from scratch because, remember, Frank Reich and Tepper did not see Ottawa and who they thought should have been the first overall pick at quarterback, whether it's C.J. Stroud, or in this case, Bryce Young.
Yeah, and now it's compounded. By the fact that they're playing against the Chicago Bears this week, and they owe the Chicago Bears their first round pick. So yeah. if the Bears win this game, it even buries the Panthers even more. So it's like a double hammer. Right? Like for the Bears, like the Bears are going to be super motivated to win this game. Well, so actually, you know what? Kind of not really, because they're going to be replaced. But it's an interesting concept here coming into this game. Terrible football game. Listen, I like Frank Reich. He's a super nice man. Yeah, I don't want to see him fail and stuff like that. But in what world did he get this job? Like, and why? You know what I mean? Like, has Frank Reich shown any ability to adapt to the modern NFL? Look at the quarterbacks that he's worked with over the years and wanted to work with, right?
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz. He's never wanted to deal with a young player before. And now you're throwing him with a 19, 20-year-old. Right? Who's getting killed out there. Now he's getting rattled and he's throwing bad picks and like it's a meltdown. He doesn't have anybody around him though, Mo. And Frank Reich isn't the one to turn this thing around, man. Like, he's – just admit you made the mistake and fire him. And if there's one coach in the league that can afford to pay a coach, like we were just talking about the Raiders, Mo, and Davis is running out of money. You know what I mean? Like, he's still paying Gruden and all that. Like, he's running out of coaches to pay. Tepper can afford it, bro. The guy's a billionaire. Point blank, right? Who cares? Like, he wouldn't even notice. Here's your $38 million to disappear, bro. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Well, like, you know, whatever
he owes him, you know?
You know, so with Tepper, with his Pratt's facility in Rock Hill, South Carolina, they stopped building it. It's this bunch of beams out there that he's like, I'm not going to pay for this anymore. I'm going to walk away from it, pay whatever the fine is, and that's it. That's all. So you're right. David Tepper can pay whoever he wants to pay. But I just think that this game, with all the microscopes on them on Thursday against the Bears, if you're a Bears fan, you actually want to beat the Panthers because you don't want to drop your draft status down by a couple of notches because already the Bears have a couple of wins to work with. And for them, you might want to beat you might want to have the Panthers beat you, so you keep that firm grip at least on the number two, number three picks going towards the NFL draft.
Yeah, but you know what? When we get into all of this, you're right about owners wanting that. Right? That was the whole thing with Ross and Flores, right? I don't think he told him, like, listen, to lose games. Like, you know what I mean? Well, they told me to lose games. And, like, he didn't tell him, like, to throw a game. They just sort of stressed, we would like a high draft pick. Like, so figure out what that means. And, you know what I mean? But you know this, Mo. You played. Guys on the field, they're getting replaced by people. They're never going to tank, right? They're not going to be there. They're not thinking, oh, this is great. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to tank. I'm going to drop this pass on purpose. So next year, Caleb Williams is throwing me a pass. No, you're going to drop this pass, and they're going to cut your ass, and you're going to be on another team. They're going to trade you. So you won't even be there, right? And you see coaches sometimes knowing that, Mo. The old tug of war. Who pulled that off? Buddy in Houston when he won the last game.
Lovie Smith. And it worked out well.
No, Houston, the owners were like, yeah, it worked out in the end. But you know they were mad at the time. They were like, son of a bitch, won the Spitus on the way out.
It helped his Bears get the number one pick, right? But that's the whole thing, though. Again, Tepper is going to be that type of guy. And I wonder for Frank Reich if he's going to be one and done after this year because it's not gone the way that they thought. And they're bereft of draft picks. So they can't get better given what they gave up to get to Bryce Young for the next couple of years.
What about the Patriots situation? Interesting reports coming out of Foxborough right now about Bill Belichick's future. And a lot of people are talking about, is he coaching for his job and all this? I don't believe for a second Robert Kraft's ever going to embarrass this guy. So no. He would have to step down at the end of the season, or it had to be amicable. Bull. But there's rumors popping up right now out of Boston by pretty reliable people that they're charting a course for the future, right? That the end is sort of in sight and, all right, what will we do type of thing. If he turns around even and says at the end of the year, I can't do this anymore, I'm done, because that might happen, right? So
right.
Mike Vrabel supposedly is it.
Right.
The Patriots, like Robert Kraft supposedly wants, he sees Mike Vrabel as the guy, which would make a lot of sense. He's got coaching experience. He was a Patriot. So that's just supposedly the word on the street in Foxborough. If Belichick isn't there, that's who they would want to replace him. I will get your take on this, Mo, but my personal opinion is I think that Belichick returns next year, but I think that Robert Kraft takes a lot more control. In that, I think Kraft basically tells Bill, we did it your way. I'm spending money on a quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care who it is. Like, I'm bringing in a star quarterback. And or do they draft a quarterback if they're that bad? But then does Belichick want to go through a J.J. McCarthy or a Michael Penix, et cetera?
Right, right. And
because Mac Jones, let me say, last thing on this.
Yeah.
I do believe that this is Mac Jones' last year as a starting quarterback of the Patriots. I don't think that I think they've learned he can't be our quarterback.
No, and you saw his comments post-game, right? He was being gentle, but he was upset and frustrated about what happened against Washington on Sunday. But you have to ask yourself this question, though. If Belichick is back, who's the GM? Because they can't have Bill Belichick being GM head coach because, quite frankly, Gabe, you made the point, he's been terrible.
He's a bad GM. This is his problem.
Yeah. That's right. And I think that's going to be the key question mark between him and Kraft is that, Bill, if you're going to come back, I want to hire my guy to be the GM. So that alleviates one thing from your portfolio as a head coach of football. You can focus on football and not try to figure out who should be the starting right guard.
And not kick him out of the room, but I would just basically tell him, listen, I'm the owner. And you don't have to tell him. Everyone knows, you know, in the NFL, the owner's got to say, especially with quarterbacks. The owner just says, I'm training for Kyler Murray, whether you like it or not. Like, you know what I mean? Right. And or I'm, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm signing Kirk Cousins, point blank. And
right,
he's our new quarterback, Bill, right? You call Bill, I just signed Kirk Cousins, right? Type of thing.
Like, the thing is,
and I'm not saying Kirk Cousins is the answer. You know what I mean, right? Like,
no,
they have to make a change. They have to make a change.
And there's no question. And here's the thing, though, Gabe, right? The highest pick, draft pick they ever had under Belichick was sixth overall when they took Richard Seymour back in 2001, I think it was. And this will be a top five pick. So this is the first time ever during Belichick's reign as a Patriot head coach that they could end up with a top five pick. On average, their pick has been normally between 29 and 30, given how far they've gone in the NFL playoffs. So this is going to be a seismic change for the Patriots franchise, because if they're going to take a quarterback, and I think we all believe they will, they got to make sure that they get the GM in place and the proper eval done, because if they miss on this quarterback, if they do go that route, it could set the franchise back by 5 to 10 years, because that misdiagnosis of who they thought could be a franchise quarterback, and wasn't the case to be, if it's going to be Drake May, Pennings Jr., or whoever might be at that pick with his 5, 6, or 7 for the Patriots.
No, you're exactly right. The longer that you don't fix the problem, it exasperates, and it just carries on for another couple of years. You've got to solve this. But whatever, I don't even like them, so I'm just bringing it up because he is a legendary coach. All right, Mo, college football, there's a hell of a lot of stuff going on. Michigan and the Big Ten are going at it. Everybody in the Big Ten is trying to bring Michigan down. Michigan is coming, like, full out here. Like, Michigan, the president of Michigan, the dean, everybody is on board. They privately met with the commissioner of the Big Ten and basically told the Big Ten, we're going to go scorched earth on you. Right, we're going scorched earth. If you overreact to this, we're going to go scorched earth. We're going to sue you. We're suing the NCAA. We're going to sue the Big Ten. You see Harbaugh's lowering up, and he said, I'm taking everyone to court. We're appealing everything, and we're going to sue everybody. And not to mention, Michigan's hired PIs back, and they're digging up dirt on everybody. And the Associated Press reports a former employee of the Big Ten program said Monday his job was to steal signs, and he was given details from multiple league schools to complete a spreadsheet of calling plays used by Michigan last year. So in other words, Michigan has a former coach of another team on record. They provided this information to the Big Ten and the NCAA about Michigan being the ones being stolen. Like, they're the victims of other teams. Whoever opened this can of worms, Mo, is a jerk, because you know everyone's doing it. This is the stupidest thing ever. And I think it's going to be a slap on the wrist when it's all said and done. But how do you think this plays out quickly? And then they're playing Penn State this week. And I guarantee you, bro, the Big Ten commissioner, well, okay, fine. Like Michigan said, fine. Let's see what you do about this. They're already gathering information on other schools, Mo. The Big Ten commissioner can't do it. He's going to kill his own conference? Come on.
The money involved, Gabe, will be far too desirable to say, hey, let's suspend Jim Harbaugh and revoke the Michigan Wolverines. It's not going to happen this year. As your boy Pat McAfee said on game day on Saturday last weekend, by 2030 is when they'll lay the hammer down, right, when it's all said and done for the NCAA investigation. So I just think that, look, nothing's going to happen this year. The Big Ten knows this is a big year for the league to set themselves in a strong position with USC coming in with the West Coast teams after this year. And if Michigan's going to be their ace card here, you don't want to ruffle the waters right now, and nothing will happen. Nothing will happen this year, Gabe. You might get some upset conference members. Boo-hoo. Michigan's going to carry the torch, and guess what's going to happen, Gabe? When all that money comes in and that pie split up whatever way it is, there'll be some happy members that got that money because of Michigan doing what they did to win the national title, perhaps, or at least go to the college football playoff four.
Well, their first big game of the year is here, Mo. They're 4.5-point favorites against Penn State. Do you think they beat them?
Yeah, I do, but it's going to be tricky. And, Gabe, you know, their trips to Happy Valley have not been smooth. And if you remember, there's one game 4 or 5 years ago when they played in Happy Valley on primetime football where Penn State slapped them in the face. So I think for Penn State, James Franklin will have that type of edge where they'll come out and guns a-blazing the first 10, 15 minutes of that football game. But I think for Michigan, he's got to have to weather the storm and stick to what they do better. Great, right? Run that football and don't get deceived by the Penn State crowd, because that's going to be loud and proud for them in Happy Valley. But I think Michigan definitely wins that game by at least 7 points or more.
Ole Miss with one loss on the season or the next one's up to take their shot. This is almost like the local amusement park. You ring the bell or something like that. You punch the bag on the next tough guy. You know what I mean? I can do it. You couldn't do it. I can do it. They come up and they try to punch Georgia, and it doesn't end well for them. Credit to Missouri, though. They actually kind of hung around. So, you know, it's 2 years in a row Missouri have covered and hung around against them. We got 30 seconds before the break. Ole Miss, they're getting 10.5 against Georgia. The game's in Georgia. What's your pick?
The Bulldogs cover. I think Ole Miss is too finesse for the Bulldogs to win on the road in Athens.
Yeah, but Georgia's physicality is just playing out right now. Big weekend of college football. Mo, always a pleasure. Great stuff. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. Actually, Mo, I was going to get you out of here, but on the other side, CFL Final Four, semifinals. I got to get your picks on the other side. We'll get Mo out after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Renz. We're into the three-minute warning here. Let's do this thing. So, Mo, CFL football, we're into the Eastern and Western Division final. We've got the Alouettes and the Argonauts. Argonauts, a juggernaut this year, defending Grey Cup champions, laying 9.5 points to Montreal. And the BC Lions go to Winnipeg. Rematch from last year's division final game. Winnipeg have home field advantage. They're laying 4.5 points in this game. Who's going to be playing in the Grey Cup in 2 weeks?
You know, I'm going to go off the board here. I'm going to take the Bombers against the Alouettes. I think the Argos have not played real. Yeah, the Argos have not played real football in the last 2 months here. If the Owls defense can keep it tight and keep it mucky against the Argos offense, they have a chance, Gabe. I'm not saying the Owls can go score for score, but if it's low scoring, I give the Owls that decided edge to beat the Argonauts, and I think the Bombers will prevail over the Lions. I think the Bombers are getting healthier now and playing better football than before going into the final week or two of their campaign.
Calling a big upset with the Montreal Alouettes, who are plus 375 on the money line in this game. Played great football over the weekend. You're right. I think they're going to hang around. I think 9.5 points is too much. Listen, yeah. Toronto are better than they are. Toronto are really, really, really good. But, like you said, they haven't played in forever. They wrapped everything up 2 months ago, literally. So, yeah, right, like, we'll see. We'll see if, you know what I mean, if they can come out a little, if they're a little flat early, or if it at least takes them a little while early. It could be something to think about in the first quarter. Mo, always a pleasure, my man. Great stuff. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. We'll catch up with you next week.
Yes, sir. Maduro, speak soon, man. Have a great week, man. Be good.
Always a pleasure. There's our boy, Mo Khan. Excellent stuff. The show just flew by here this evening. Quick update on the way out right now. Oh, boy, we're getting smoked. Bellarmine are getting smoked by the Washington Huskies. The game is playing to the over right now. We've got the over and we've got Bellarmine, but it's 59-38. So the Huskies went on a big run. The total is 136.5. The in-game total is 140.5 right now. Shout out to our boy, Matty, not Jeff George, in the booth, and Pat Foster tonight. All of our guests this evening. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.